If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show here on your home for Sporting Kansas City Soccer Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Nate Bucati, joined basically as always by the one and only El Jefe, Carter Augustine. What's up, Carter? How are you, man?
What's up, Nate? Good day. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well because there's a lot of soccer going on. A lot of soccer to talk about these days. And we've got a special guest in studio to help do it with us. Once a month, we roll out one of our favorite promotions, I guess you call it, which is the CapFed guest host. And this is the second time this year that we have done it. We have our CapFed guest host in studio. This is presented by our wonderful friends at Capital Federal. And basically the way it works is when you tweeted us with the hashtag CapFed guest host and tell us why you want to be our next guest host and get to come in and co-host the show with us, we pick out the best entries and we pick one person that gets to come in who gets a prize pack, which today included two tickets to tomorrow night's Sporting Kansas City versus Minnesota United U.S. Open Cup game, a gift card to Austin's Bar and Grill, a True Blue CapFed SKC scarf, and a Border Patrol t-shirt, courtesy of Sports Radio 810 WHB. So a pretty good deal. And, of course, the best part of all, the chance to get to come in here and co-host the show with us. So without further ado, let's introduce our CapFed guest host for this week. His name is Joshua. Good evening, Joshua. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Why did you want to be a CapFed guest host and come in here and waste your time with us?
Well, I've always seemed to love Sporting Kansas City for as long as I can remember. I still remember them going to games back at Arrowhead you know, when I was a little kid. But, you know, I've just the passion of the fan base as well as the product that we put on the field, I think, is top-notch in MLS.
How often do you get to go to Sporting Kansas City games?
Not nearly as often as I would like. Yeah. I would say maybe probably two or three games at most just because of time constraints with different jobs and whatnot throughout the year.
But you were telling me before the show that you've been to a couple of the biggest ones.
Yes. I've been at the MLS Cup match as well as the U.S. Open Cup match. That were both at Sporting Park, Children's Mercy Park, sorry.
He's getting a sponsor, right? This is our guy right
like
here.
It.
Remember,
yep.
Keep saying CapFed, too, while you're at
yeah,
it, okay? Say, thanks to CapFed. No, yeah. You don't have to say that. You can, though.
Those two matches were really incredible matches, both in their own ways, with the double rainbow over the stormy skies over Children's Mercy Park at the U.S. Open Cup match game. And then, you know, the below freezing temperatures down in the MLS Cup match.
Isn't that funny that that's what you remember so much about whatever big sporting event it was so many times, is if there was some sort of weather phenomenon that took place in it? Because, you know, we're working, I shouldn't say we are, I'm not doing much on it, but the video team at Sporting KC are working on a sporting story, basically like a mini documentary on that U.S. Open Cup game that you're talking about, which was the first of the three trophies, a really, you know, a significant moment in the arc of the franchise. And we were all sitting around talking about the things we remember the most about it. You mentioned the double rainbow. And that was the first thing that I said, is I'll always remember that I took a picture of it. We walked out of the – I was a season ticket holder at the time. I wasn't doing play-by-play for the team. I was just a season ticket holder. But we had finagled some Shield Club passes. And so we were hanging out in the Shield Club riding out the rainstorm. And then as soon as it seemed like it had cleared, my friends and I walked outside, and there's this amazing double rainbow that's coming down like right towards the middle of the stadium. And it just seemed like an omen at the time, like, oh, yeah, that's a good sign. When you used to be the Wiz and a rainbow's coming right into the stadium, we got this. This is good. And some of the guys kind of laughed at me because they're like, is that really what you remember the most about this amazing game? I'm like, that's the first thing that jumps out at me. So that's the first thing you said too.
Yeah, and like all my friends completely was like, no, rainbow, definitely a sign.
Yeah.
Turned out to be.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about U.S. Open Cup action appropriately enough because Sporting Kansas City are in action in the U.S. Open Cup tomorrow night. This is technically the fourth round of the competition. It's the first round that MLS teams get into the mix. Now, some of the games are going on tonight and
right now.
And we got some drama on our hands already. This is one of the reasons that we love this type of competition, whether it's the FA Cup, the U.S. Open Cup, these competitions that put teams in one country from different tiers, the sharks and the minnows, as a lot of people like to call it, going toe-to-toe, and there's one amateur team left in this 2017 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, and it's Christos FC out of Baltimore, Maryland. And they are taking on DC United at DC United right now. And there was a lot of hype about this in the past couple of weeks leading up to this. I've been listening to a lot of interviews with the head coach and the founders of the team. These guys have been playing club soccer for 20 years, and they've just kept finding young guys to come play for them. They are beating DC United 1-0, Carter, in the 34th minute right now.
A scrumptious free kick just outside the area. They've got some...
Oh, have you seen it?
Yeah. It's on the Twitters. And it's a great one. And
it just happened moments ago, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. Curls it in to upper corner, and there they go. Christos,
let's go.
The beer league team.
Yeah. I mean, everybody who's not a DC United fan is pulling for Christos right now. And
maybe not Don Garber. Don Garber, maybe not.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. I mean, if it's not your team, this is the kind of thing that you love to see. So we'll see how that plays out. But also Colorado Rapids against Oklahoma City Energy tonight. Seattle Sounders against the Portland Timbers. That's tonight. And then, of course, there's a full slate of games tomorrow. And as we said, the one that we care the most about, 7:30 tomorrow night, Sporting Kansas City at Minnesota United.
Sorry to interrupt, Nate. 1-1.
Oh, just you now. Had to kill my buzz.
Just killed you. Sorry.
They actually found the
You didn't
the back
have to interrupt
once.
That. Yeah. You could have let this just, yeah, you could have let the magic, yeah. You know, linger for those of us that hadn't seen it. We'll see. Maybe Christos can get another one back here or play for penalties, you know. Wouldn't that really be something? But the one we care about the most, Sporting Kansas City tomorrow night against Minnesota United. And I want to do something special right now. I opened this up via Twitter earlier today, and I got to be honest, so far I'm a little disappointed with the returns. We have had Sporting have had a suite return to them or donated to them by one of the suite owners for tomorrow night's game. I've put it up for auction on my Twitter account for tomorrow, and all of the money, all of it, will go to the Victory Project. For those that don't know, that's the philanthropic arm of Sporting Kansas City that basically deals almost exclusively with pediatric cancer. Got to meet one of the latest, the Victory Suite honorees. The special guest tomorrow night is going to be Jackson. He was out of training today, so I got to talk to him for a while. A young leukemia patient who's got a great positive attitude. And, Victory Project does so much along with Children's Mercy. And one of the best things they've been doing lately is granting these sporting wishes, which is granting wishes to kids who have had a relapse in their cancer. So this is a fantastic cause. All the money goes there, and you get a suite to a Sporting Kansas City game. This is a suite that's valued at $4,000. It's for 15 people, so you get 15, basically, tickets to the suite. It comes with a $500 voucher for food and beverages. You basically get to order your own food and beverages, whatever you want. And that's non-alcoholic, alcoholic, whatever you want there. And they're throwing in a Sporting Kansas City autographed jersey. And so far, I don't have any bids yet. I've had a lot of retweets. All kinds of people think it's a great cause, but nobody's bidding. And I realized in short notice, you got to get 15 people together to get into this suite. But think about how good this deal is. And we're starting the bidding at $2,000, which is half price, mm-hmm. plus the $500 gift card, which is not normally included in the suite. They're just throwing that in. So I'm guessing you can pretty much cover, if you got 15 people in your suite and a $500 gift card, you're pretty much covered for all your food and drink for the night as well. So you can also call Charlie 913-3810-810 with bids, 913-3810-810, or you can tweet at me at Nate_Bucati. That's Nate_Bucati. Let's get some bids here, folks. Let's get I mean, if even if it's $2,000, that's $2,000 to help make a kid's dream come true that's fighting cancer right now.
Absolutely.
And you get something at an unbelievable value for it. So let's go ahead and do that. 913-3810-810 if you want to call Charlie and put a bid in or send it to me at Nate_Bucati. I'm going to take the bids till 10 o'clock tonight. So let's get a great bid and have a great time at that game. Okay. So that being said, we'll set that aside. Let's, guys, start. I'm trying to think. I'll give you guys the option. Do we start chronologically and start with the Sporting Kansas City game against Montreal on Saturday, or do we start what's on the kind of the top of everyone's mind, which was the USA-Mexico game on Sunday, and then work from there? Where do you guys want to start?
Josh?
I think I'm thinking USA-Mexico.
I think it's they're both 1-1 results, but one feels a little bit better than the other, right?
Yeah.
One's on the road, one was at home, all that. Okay, so let's start there. United States goes to the Azteca. Mexico won, United States won, Michael Bradley with one of the all-timers. Give me your thoughts, Josh, on the performance by the USA.
The fact that we actually pulled out a result out of Azteca is phenomenal in itself, just because we've only secured maybe one other result there, to my recollection, especially against Mexico, is, you know, again, phenomenal work by the United States and his national team. And credit to Bruce Arena to actually be able to set us up for that. Again, Michael Bradley's goal, nothing could be said about that. That hasn't already been said. It's just chipping the keeper like that. I can't even. I really can't fathom what other words to really describe that sort of performance that we put on there and were able to cling on to that result.
Yeah, I mean, that goal, I've watched it maybe 742 times.
It gets better every time you watch it.
Every time. I get the same old big smile. I thought it was a pretty good performance. You know, if Bobby Wood puts that chance away just before the Mexico goal, it's 2-0, and I think that U.S. can really defend and maybe get out of there with a victory. But anytime you get a point, like Josh said, in the Azteca, it's definitely a benefit, and it's a bonus point. So, I thought some guys stood out. It was good to see Kellen Acosta. I'm definitely on the hype train with a lot of U.S. soccer fans. I'm not sure he'll ever give that spot back. And, I thought it was a pretty good performance. You know, let's keep things in perspective. It's still a draw, and they still had an incredible amount of possession.
About 75% of the possession, yeah. Almost. Like 73%, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, keep it in perspective, but it's a very, very good result.
So one of the things that stood out to me about that, the possession statistic that's been thrown out a lot about this game. And look, we've seen the shoe on the other foot for Sporting Kansas City. We saw Sporting Kansas City go to Colorado and have 75% of the ball roughly and not come away with anything. But usually we think that's an indication that Sporting are a better team than the team they're playing against. And I think that's usually the case. I mean, the Colorado Rapids knew that they were not as good as Sporting Kansas City, so they didn't try to play with them. I'm going to say, and maybe this is me with my red, white, and blue glasses on, I thought it was a better performance by Sporting Kansas City than that possession statistic.
By USA, you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry, by the United States, than that possession statistic would indicate. I look at what did you create with all of that possession? For example, again, to use the analogy to the game in Colorado, Sporting took, 25, 26 shots in that game, and they only put two on goal, and we talked about the fact that a lot of those were from long range. But there was clearly a one side that was attacking and one side that was not creating hardly anything, right, other than some set pieces. I didn't see a game like that unfolding in the United States versus Mexico. The goal they scored was because of a high press maneuver that took place in the middle of the field, Michael Bradley with the interception, and then on the very next touch, he beats the keeper. 10-7. Does not indicate that one-sided of a game. If you're going to tell me that United States were going to go down there and only be outshot by Mexico 10-7, and that the United States would actually outdo Mexico in terms of shots on goal 2-1. Now, I know some people will say, well, Mexico hit the post a couple of times. So did Michael Bradley. I didn't see a game where I thought, boy, Mexico just had the lion's share of the chances created in this game. When the United States had the ball, they were dangerous. Christian Pulisic had a chance as well at the end of the game that because it was Christian Pulisic, I thought he's going to score here, and he didn't even hit the frame. But am I overly I'm looking at the look. I'm trying to read the look on your face right now, Carter. You seem a little more cynical about it than me. But to me, I'm seeing 10 to 7 shots. I'm not seeing a completely dominant affair by the Mexicans in this one.
No, it's a great and it was a good performance. And you go down there and you play five at the back. And like you said, you limited their chances. And that's, I think, what Bruce Arena was trying to do, and give it credit because it did work out. And like you said, they didn't create a whole lot. They had some good opportunities, but their one goal came off a counterattack. So I think you look at that, and yeah, it was, the game plan was executed perfectly. It worked. But it's just funny to me, American soccer media, they get the ball rolling on the Bruce Arena thing, and you get he gets a draw down in the Azteca, and he's the savior of U.S. soccer. Jurgen Klinsmann got a draw down there the last World Cup qualifying cycle as well. So it is doable. And
got a victory down there too.
In a friendly, the only time the U.S. has ever beaten Mexico down there. So, like I said, it's a great point. Anytime you get a point there, especially in World Cup qualifying, great, you take it. But I just think it was a good performance, but not deserving of this all this hype that it's getting.
Fair enough. Again, like I'd say though that, you know, the difference between Jurgen Klinsmann and Bruce Arena though is that Jurgen Klinsmann did have that, you know, tendency to try to play players out of their own position where they weren't feeling as comfortable there. Whereas you see, had DeMarcus Beasley back there, you know, as that left wing back there, you know, in his natural position, players were playing where they felt more comfortable, and I think that, you know, that comfortability really kind of helped add to them being a little more locked down on defense.
And players have said that. Omar Gonzalez said, because there was a lot of comparisons being made because the U.S. played three at the back at home when they lost to Mexico with Jurgen Klinsmann just last fall. Mm-hmm. And Omar Gonzalez was saying, well, that was about 2 days before they said, well, this is how we're going to play. Meanwhile, Bruce Arena has been practicing this all these past couple weeks that they've been in camp. So that is a definite difference. And I agree with you there. Klinsmann played a lot of guys out of position. But I don't know.
I think it's a fair point that you make that we can tend to forget very similar result by Bruce Arena by Jurgen Klinsmann because of the narrative and how things have shaken out. I think you could argue that there are some different scenarios. That Mexican team was having real problems.
They were. Mm-hmm. This is a much better looking Mexico team.
This is a Mexico team that just beat the United States on American soil. Mm-hmm. I think that some of the other things that happened around the context of Jurgen Klinsmann's situation and things that have happened around the context of Bruce Arena's situation. Right now, first of all, any American manager was going to come in here and everyone was going to love him because American soccer fans were tired of their own product being blasted by their men's national team coach on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. Also because there was so much starting to come out from the players about not having any idea, you know, what the game plan was, how they were going to play, what their responsibilities were on the field. And that really started to come to the surface in that game in Columbus after the game against Mexico. Some of the players just kind of came out and started saying that that was the case. And it's of note that then Omar Gonzalez comes out and says, after this one, this is completely different. So it's funny because, you know, the analogy there is, it's not the system. It's not the three-man back line. It's not playing Christian Pulisic centrally when he's been playing out on the wing. Because remember, that was a big knock by a lot of people, is that, oh, he's been playing out on the wing for Borussia Dortmund the whole time, and now he's playing centrally. This is our plan. We know it going into it, and everyone knows their job going into it. And that made a huge difference in this one. A couple of points real quick on the Kellen Acosta hype train, because I'm with you on it, and I want to see more of him. I want that to be his job. I don't want to see Jermaine Jones anymore. Do we think it's a coincidence at all that Michael Bradley had this moment with Kellen Acosta playing next to him?
I think that's what's going to suit Kellen Acosta. Is he's really going to be a good foil to the way Michael Bradley plays in midfield. And he's still 21. He's got legs for days. He's got an engine that will just run forever. He could have done better on the Mexico goal. He had two chances at it. And so I think
he should have fouled in midfield.
And he got nutmegged, and then he went back on the line and missed the block as well. So it wasn't 100% a perfect game by him, but yeah, I think you're right. I think the way he pairs with Michael Bradley is going to suit him well. And then he was taking a lot of set pieces as well, because not only does the kid have an engine, he's got quality on the ball as well. So I'm just really excited for him, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him never give that spot back, honestly.
Well, and just to reiterate just how important he is as a player, you see just how, like, you know, FC Dallas dropping points without him in the lineup there. Mm-hmm. So he's just so important, not only for club, but for country as well. And, you know, like, again, anytime we can see Jermaine Jones not being in the starting 11 and Kellen Kostov stepping up to that role, I'm more than fine with. So,
yeah. Well, here's what we'll do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear a conversation that I had with Graham Zusia training today. He and Matt Beisler are back. They were in training with Sporting Kansas City today. Matt Beisler told me, by the way, that I think the team got to bed sometime around 3 o'clock in the morning after the game down at the Azteca, and then they were up at 5:30 to head off to the airport, something like that. Mm. Whatever it was, they got a couple of hours of sleep and then going through customs in Dallas and all that. But they're back, and neither one of them played a lot. Matt didn't play at all, and Graham played 1 minute out of these two qualifiers. So they should be rested in terms of legs for these games coming up for Sporting Kansas City. But we'll get Graham's perspective on all this stuff that happened at the Azteca, because he had a pretty good seat for the action and then did play the final minute of the game. So we'll hear from Graham Zusia when we come back. Once again, we have our CapFed guest host, Josh, here in studio with us, courtesy of our friends at Capital Federal. If you'd like to be a guest host sometime, make sure you send us tweets with the hashtag CapFedGuestHost, and an awesome prize pack from Capital Federal as well for Josh. We'll be back with more. Graham Zusia joins us on the Sporting Kansas City show next right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
For Sporting Kansas City Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and we are pleased to be joined now, fresh back from, I don't know if fresh is the right word, but back from the U.S. Men's National Team, Graham Zusia. And I understand from talking to Matt, Graham, that the travel back was a little bit, I mean, it is what it is. You get a couple hours of sleep and you fly home, but tell me about returning and the recovery of all that travel.
Yeah, it's, you know, it wasn't too bad. Didn't get a whole lot of sleep, I guess Sunday night, but no, I think fresh would be the correct word for Matt and myself. You know, it was a great few weeks with the national team, but like I think everyone saw, neither of us got a whole lot of playing time, so. I think both of our bodies are feeling pretty good right now.
You came on for the last minute of the game against Mexico, and we just kept waiting because it seemed like you kept waiting. You know, you were there at the check-in. Is how much anticipation goes into that when you're just, I guess, you're just waiting for the final word from the coach to tell you now's the time?
Yeah, well, you know, I had one of those 80-minute warm-ups during that game because right. DeMarcus went down pretty early with what seemed to be a knee injury or something. So, yeah, I was warming up from about the 20th minute on, and I guess eventually I got in there.
So let's talk just overall mm-hmm. about the experience in this camp. First of all, since Bruce Arena's taken over, you guys have won both your home games. You've drawn both of your away games. Mm-hmm. This time in particular, you guys get the win over Trinidad and Tobago and then the big 1-1 result down at the Azteca. Overall, how would you describe maybe the atmosphere of being with the team this time and how everybody felt coming away from these two qualifiers?
Yeah, I think we were pretty satisfied with getting 4 points. In no way, shape, or form were we going into that game just thinking draw. You know, we thought that we could go in there and get 3 points, but a point down in Azteca is a very good result as well. So, no, just I think in the, I guess, 2.5 weeks that we were together, just a very good vibe, very good atmosphere. And I think you can see in those two games, and especially down in Mexico, just the willingness of the group to play together and to fight together.
So one of the big talking points coming out of the game in Mexico was the fact that Bruce Arena made 7 changes going into the game and a formation change. He said afterwards, look, I told the guys day one, this is what we're going to play, and we trained for it. How big of a difference, you know, from a day in, day out practice did it make just for you guys to know what the plan was, you know, ahead of time?
Yeah, it was good. You know, I think Bruce made that point pretty clear to us, and we had a very specific game plan going into both games, and I think you saw us execute that game plan pretty much to a T. So I think he was very pleased with that, and Obviously, we were pleased with it as well.
Let's go to a couple of the key moments in the game. The chip by Michael Bradley. Just take me through what you remember and your perspective on it.
Yeah, well, it was a very good pressing play from us. You know, the decision for Michael especially to step into that gap was a very, very good instinctual play by him. Cut it out. You saw his first touch take it beyond the defender, and just an extremely opportunistic play by him, and one of the best goals I've seen live and since really I can remember. Not to mention in that kind of atmosphere in Mexico. So I think for him it'll go down as probably his favorite goal in his career. And for me, it was a pleasure to watch.
So actually, as difficult of a place as Azteca is to play, and legendarily so, you guys have had three results in a row down there. What does that say? I mean, what does that mean to you, and what does that mean for the team to have that kind of success against your arch rival in one of notoriously the toughest places to play in the world?
Well, I think, in getting those results, every time we go down there now, it should be a boost of confidence and something we can build on and know that we can get a result there. I'm not going to say every single time we go down there, but we should have the confidence to go there and play and get at least a point. So, I think going on from here, it's just that, it's going down there with confidence, in a place that maybe in the past seemed nearly impossible to get points. Now we've done it three times in a row, and it should bode well for our confidence going forward.
So much is made of the atmosphere, the altitude and the air quality there. And you guys, obviously Bruce Arena made the choice to have the two games at altitude in Sandy, Utah, and then the one game in Sandy and the two games training in Denver. Yeah. I know you didn't play for the whole 90 minutes, but being around the guys and seeing how their legs held up, do you think that made a difference? Did that make a positive impact training at altitude leading into that game?
Yeah, I think there's probably no question about it. The staff in these 2 weeks really pulled out all the stops for us to succeed in two difficult places to play. I'm not going to go into all the details about every step that we took, but I think seeing what they would do to put us in the best spot possible gave us more and more confidence to go and play in those games.
One other guy I have to ask you about before we move on to the sporting side of things, because everybody asks about him now, is Christian Pulisic. And I know that he had the two goals in Trinidad and Tobago, didn't get the goal or anything like that in the Mexico City game, but just tell me what you're seeing from him and where the hype train should be at this point for this kid.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've spoken about Christian before, and a year or maybe two ago, I saw something special in him. Same as what I see now. And his game just continues to grow. The hype is, I think, exactly where it should be. The guy is. Been fantastic for the national team and club team. So, the guy deserves the credit that he's getting, and it's going to be fun watching him continue to develop because he's not someone that is just showing glimpses of promise. He's there already, and it's going to be fun to see him continue to grow.
All right, so Graham, now you're back here. You had training today. Team's got a game just tomorrow night in the Open Cup. Tell me about the process of reacclimating to the club after you've spent the last 2 weeks or whatever it is with the men's national team. Is it easy to just jump right back in because you know these guys so well, or does it take a little bit of time?
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy. It's probably a bit easier than going from club to country, to be honest, just because you do know everyone so well, and you're with these guys almost every day of every year. So Yeah, the transition is pretty seamless, to be honest. You know, hopping right back into training, and I'm excited that there's a game so early on, just because I haven't played in a real competitive match in a while now. So excited about this Open Cup game tomorrow night, and you know, obviously it's a tournament that we've taken very seriously and in the past, and this year's no different.
Graham, thanks a lot for the time. Congratulations on your time with the national team, and welcome back.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, that is Graham Zusi as we continue with the Sporting Kansas City show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB right after this.
I want to remind you that we're auctioning off a suite for tomorrow night's game at the U.S. Open Cup, Minnesota United versus Sporting Kansas City. You can call Charlie 913-3810-810 if you want to make a bid on it. It's a suite valued at $4,000, and it's for 15 people. It comes with a $500 voucher for food and drinks that pretty much should cover, I don't know how much you need to eat and drink with 15 people, but $500 should cover all the orders you need to make from inside the suite, plus an autographed jersey. So call Charlie at 913-3810-810 if you want to make a bid on it, or send a tweet at me with your bid, at Nate_Bucati, and get 15 people together, and you'll have a blast tomorrow night for a really cheap price, and all of the money that you bid will go to the Victory Project. So it'd be pretty cool. So, guys, I want to play something for you before we get into this conversation. As Peter Vermees had his backup in the post-game news conference after Sporting Kansas City settled for the 1-1 draw against Montreal. They keep the unbeaten streak at home, alive up to 17 games now, but they certainly were disappointed not to come away with all 3 points when they had a 1-0 lead. Unfortunately, a big mistake by Sonny Mustafar led to the goal. But after the game, after a few questions, maybe about Sporting not playing their best in the second half, Peter Vermees turned it back on the media.
You mentioned earlier about teams coming to Children's Mercy Park and playing with five defenders, parking a bus.
No, not this year anymore, even at their own places.
Yeah, so does that frustrate the guys, knowing every game they have to be breaking down these tough defenses?
It's part of the game. You know, I don't know. You guys ask these questions as if we're in last place. I don't know. Like, you guys ask the questions as if we can't break teams down. I guess I'm at a loss. We scored a goal tonight. Last game I checked, we were here. We scored 3 goals. I don't know. Like, you guys tact as if we can't play or something. There's a reason why teams come in here and play the way they do. There's a reason why when we go away and teams play at their places the way they do. It's pretty easy to figure out. And it amazes me that you guys ask these questions in regards to breaking teams down. What do you think happens to all the other teams in the league? There is a reason why teams play the way that they play against us. Does everybody know why that is? Do you know why that is? Do you know why that is? Does anybody in? Can anybody answer this question? Do you know, Thad? Yes, please. Could you tell me? Please tell me.
Because nobody else can match up against you.
Thank you. So they back off. They back off. They back off. That's just the way it is. I mean, like I've said, you guys act as if we're in last place, and I don't understand. I feel like as if you guys want me to defend us being good. We're good. Teams come in to play the way they do. It is what it is.
So there's Peter Vermees after the game. Your thoughts? I'll start with you, Carter Augustine.
Yeah, I think he's just maybe he's heard that question after every time they don't win at home for the last 3 or 4 years, probably. So maybe it was just that plus that late error kind of sticking in his craw, and just decided to have a go.
I mean, I think part of it also means, you know, like, reporters have to look for a story, and it's, you know, sometimes questions tend to be a bit monotonous because it is a game. There's, you know, many things that happen very similarly in several games, so questions can tend to start rolling over the years. They start sounding very similar, I think. So I think that's, you know, so wondering, but the dressing down on the media, I can't help but just smile and laugh at that.
You better be careful. You're part of the media now. You're on, you know, you're on head. I'm just kidding. You're on headset and a microphone right now. No, I think this is my read on it. You guys tell me if I'm wrong. I think among the reasons that Peter Vermees is one of the top soccer coaches in this country, if not the best, among the reasons is because he knows how to play the mental game.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's any coincidence whatsoever that after the 3-0 shellacking of Minnesota United the week before, he laid into his team. He got all over Jimmy Madronda. Apparently he yelled at him in the locker room. He was clear that if we play like this against the team that brings their whole side in here, we won't get a victory. He was kicking his team in the rear end. After they lose, well, they didn't lose the game. After they drop a couple of points, because, look, they were minutes away. Even if they didn't add multiple goals, they were minutes away from grinding out a 1-0 result, which sometimes you just got to do at home. And one of his players made a big mistake. And it was a mistake that happens. Mr. Liverpool over here, Steven Gerrard's had a couple of those moments in his life.
I'm not sure that was necessary.
But it's happened. But my point is that Gerrard's one of the best. You know, I mean, it happens to the best players, but he made a big mistake. And I feel like this was Peter Vermees, you know, after his team feels really good about themselves, he's going to kick him in the rear end. Mm-hmm. When they feel pretty bad about themselves, and you could see it. We interviewed Iko Parr after the game, or Jillian Carroll did, and he was dejected. To me, this is Peter Vermees now. I'm going to stand up for my guys. And I'm going to distract, instead of everybody talking about one of our guys made a mistake, talk about me having a go at the media. And I personally think it's fantastic. I don't think if you got Peter Vermees in an honest moment, he would tell you, oh, yeah, we played a great second half. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the players basically said afterwards, we didn't play a great second half. We kind of let our foot off the gas. We were under some pressure. But they all know that. He doesn't have to go in and scream and yell about that. They know that. And that's what I took away from it. Now, you guys tell me if you think I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, the players themselves, they're already going to be mentally, you know, kicking themselves about, you know, and all the little mistakes after dropping points like that. He doesn't need to go in there and say, this is what you did wrong. This is what you need to fix up. They know that.
Yeah, you think Sony Musvar needs to be told what he did wrong there?
No, it's just an errant pass into open space. And so, like, we can't tell, like, you know, was that to Tim Mealy? Was that to Kevin Ellis? We really don't know that. And it's like, he's just going to play that in over his head. And that's just going to be more fuel for him for the next game. Moving on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, Vermees is very media savvy. And so I could see that being trying to take some pressure off. And then also, you know, he does have a point. This is a very good team, still unbeaten at home this season. So, you know, it is drop points, but this is still a very, very good team at the top of the conference.
It's a team that is still in first place. Now, it's a very narrow, race in the Western Conference. Right now, Sporting Kansas City on 26 points. Portland has a game in hand on Sporting. They're behind with 24. Houston has a game in hand on Sporting Kansas City. They're at 23. FC Dallas has two games in hand. They're at 23. So this is a very tight race. That's just the top four, mm-hmm. okay? Sporting Kansas City are going to San Jose for their next MLS competition. They're below the red line on 19 points, tied with Seattle, who are just above the red line. So you're talking about a seven-point differential between first place and out of the playoffs. So it's very tight, but Sporting are in first place, and I think we would all agree this team's better. This is a better team than we saw the last couple of years.
Oh yeah,
and they're more dangerous. They've had a lot of possession the last couple of years, but this year they're more dangerous in the attack. Gerso has added a pace and a scoring threat. I'm sorry, I'm seeing your reaction here, Josh. You're a fan of the Gerso.
Absolutely, I love that we've added so much speed on the wings over the off season. There, that I think is really one thing that we've been lacking, especially, you know, with Zusi being, you know, when we were playing him as a winger, he just doesn't have the speed that some of the other guys has. He has a great technical ability and great ability to cross in, but with that speed that sometimes you need, you know, when you get that turnover and to need a quickly counterattack, Gerso brings that.
I mean, he obviously showed what he can do to a back line if they try to step up the field a little bit. In the goal that he scored, 6 goals already for Gerso on the year. So we'll put that game to bed, the Montreal game, and now let's look forward to tomorrow night. You guys just heard the interview with Graham Zusi. I heard a guy who's planning on playing tomorrow night. I don't know about you guys. I was wondering, with Beisler and Zusi just getting back basically late last night from their travels from Mexico City, but not having played really any minutes with the national team, might we see those guys in the Open Cup? I came away from that interview and thinking we might have a good chance to see those guys, and it looks like Graham Zusi wants to be in the 11 tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially with Matt Beisler, he just went down to Mexico City and had a nice little siesta, got some nice sun, was well rested. So I think that they'll definitely be ready to play for sure.
Yeah, I agree with just the sound bite. It does sound like he wants to play. So I'm interested. It's always interesting.
You always wonder,
early,
right?
In the Open Cup, do you go for it or do you not? I think it being a home game will definitely help. You don't have to travel, and so I think that might help the squad selection. But I'm curious to see if he rotates some guys in, or if they go after this thing in the early stages. Because as we talked about on the top of the show, you get to that final, and that's quite a great memory, and obviously there's a trophy at the end of it as well.
So Sporting Kansas City have a game at San Jose. What we have seen Peter Vermees do so far this year is if there's a midweek home game followed by a road weekend game, which there's been a lot of so far, he's prioritized the midweek home game. Now, this is a different competition. This is Open Cup, like you said. We always wonder how teams are going to approach it, but we know that it's always a premium for Sporting Kansas City as well. On the flip side, got this from TwinCities.com, the St. Paul Pioneer Press. United, with MLS playoffs in reach, Heath could shuffle roster for U.S. Open Cup. Now, this could be cat and mouse. We'll wait and see how things turn out tomorrow night. But if you read this article, it certainly appears that Adrian Heath is going to bring some backups to Kansas City. Right now, Minnesota United are in ninth place in the Western Conference. They're five points out of a playoff spot, which isn't that far. It's a couple wins. It says here, first of all, his quote is, quote, "Can we make the playoffs? That is the holy grail for every expansion team." I think that's of note right there. Like, they're looking at it as, okay, clearly Atlanta think that they can be a playoff team. I'd point out they're below the red line as well.
Yep. Are they?
Yeah, which surprises you. As much hype as they've gotten so far this year, you'd think they're in first or second place in the Eastern Conference. But they're below the red line. Minnesota is really no farther out of a playoff spot than Atlanta in some ways. Oh, they're a couple points closer. But so he calls it the Holy Grail. And it talks about how they're going to be playing at Real Salt Lake, which is a team that's right there at the bottom of the standings with them. It's a team that's been leaking points at home. They think they've got a chance to go on the road and get a result against RSL with a couple of home matches. After that, they can get on a little run here. So it sounds like for an expansion side, they might not feel like they have as much freedom to go after both competitions, and they need to prioritize, and that they're prioritizing the playoffs right now.
You can understand it as well. And they've been in the Open Cup the past few years as well, so it's not something new to them. What is new to them is their MLS status, so I could definitely see them coming here with the second-choice lineup.
Yeah, I definitely expect a weakened side from Minnesota, not only because it is a midweek U.S. Open Cup match, but because they also have a few injuries on their side as well.
And they've got a couple guys on national team duty as well, both Venegas and Calvo, who we did not see when they were just here last week or a week and a half ago, are still with the Costa Rican national team. I believe Kevin Molino is going to be off with Trinidad and Tobago. And Jermaine Taylor is off with Jamaica. So they got injuries. They got national team guys. But we always know it's dangerous. That's always kind of that banana peel when young guys come in that maybe the Sporting Kansas City players don't know as well. So it should be fun tomorrow night. Josh, I hope you had a good time here today as a guest host.
Yeah, definitely. You know, big props to Capital Federal for presenting this opportunity.
And you got tickets. You're going to be able to make it tomorrow night?
I'll definitely be there.
All right, nice. Tomorrow night. And you and I will be on the call, El Jefe.
Yep, looking forward to it.
Tomorrow night right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You can listen in. Sporting Kansas City versus Minnesota United at 7:30. The game's also available on Webstream. What you need to do is go to the game. Tickets available as well. SportingKC.com. Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. By the way, Christos FC and D.C. still 1-1 in the 63rd minute. So we'll see what happens there. Our thanks to Josh. Our thanks to Graham Zusi, Charlie for running the show, El Jefe Carter-Augustine. We'll see you next time on the Sporting Kansas City Show.